Hello, this is my Lenten diary for March the 6th, 2023. Today is Monday in the second week of Lent. This is a reading from the book of Daniel. I turned to the Lord to seek an answer by prayer and supplication, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, Ah, Lord, great and awesome God, keeping covenant and steadfast love with those who love you and keep your commandments, we have sinned and done wrong, acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and ordinances. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. Righteousness is on your side, O Lord, but open shame, as at this day, falls on us, the people of Judah. Open shame, O Lord, falls on us, our kings, our officials, and our ancestors, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God by following his laws, which he set before us by his servants and the prophets. To read the book of Daniel is to experience a particular sort of biblical literature which is full of strange imagery, confusing visions, and moments when the writer seems to be communicating in a code which only people in the know would have known how to decipher. If you've never read Daniel, just think of it as a precursor to and stylistic forerunner of the New Testament book of Revelation. Both of these biblical texts are a type of literature known as apocalyptic, where cosmic visions set in the future offer insight into the circumstances the authors and their communities are experiencing in the present. In the book of Daniel, we learn that Daniel himself is one of the Hebrews who are captives in the city of Babylon, taken there as a result of the destruction of Jerusalem and the obliteration of his homeland. Daniel and all of the other captives must make theological sense of what has happened to them and to their country. Just ahead of today's passage, the text says that Daniel has been reading the book of the prophet Jeremiah, and in that text discovered that Jeremiah not only predicted Jerusalem's demise, but also predicted how long the captivity would last, 70 years. This realization compels Daniel to take on the posture of penitence, garments of sackcloth, along with the ashes of sorrow and remorse. He fasts and prays. The prayer of Daniel, we've read today, reveals the depth of the author's grief as he wrestles emotionally with his realization that the unfaithfulness of the covenant people has led directly to their current condition. The shame of it all, firmly rests with them. Daniel maintains in his prayer that his people's situation actually underscores God's mercy and forgiveness. God's mercy because the covenant people survive. God's forgiveness because restoration remains possible. Given the direness of his people's situation, Daniel's prayer resolutely insists on God's sovereignty and righteousness. If his people are to have any opportunity to be restored to their homeland, it will be solely because of God's mercy and forgiveness. I imagine one of the greatest challenges for us in reading Daniel isn't necessarily trying to make sense of the visions and imagery we find there. Maybe the greatest challenge is Daniel's conviction that God is working in and through the covenant people's captivity in a foreign land to bring them back into right relationship with the God who refuses to forsake them. For most of us, repentance is strictly an individual matter. We often forget, or maybe we choose to ignore, that we are so connected through a web of complex relationships, systems, and structures. And because of that connection, we often, unwittingly and or unreflectively, participate in all sorts of things which are contrary to God's will for human flourishing. Daniel uncomfortably reminds us to pay attention to those communal connections. Our actions and inactions, our faithfulness or lack thereof, our readiness or stubbornness to repent and to take a different direction matter immensely. To understand this is to recognize that Lent is far more than simply an individual experience. The church is taking this journey together. The season isn't simply for me to examine my life, but for the church in all of its expressions to examine its common life as well. Such examination not only makes us keenly aware of the ways in which the church fails to live up to its vocation, but it also reinforces for us our dependence on God to amend our lives, to amend our ways, and to walk in paths of righteousness. As I've said before, Lent is our opportunity, as individuals and as the church, to begin again in the assurance that to the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness. Let us pray. Let your Spirit, O Lord, come into the midst of us to wash us with the pure water of repentance, and prepare us to be always a living sacrifice to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.